And I speak to you in God's holy name, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer. Amen. Please be seated. We are beginning a series on what it means to be progressive. And I thought I would launch it today by really reflecting on the General Synod, of which we are a part of and the readings are a part of today. And then we'll go into the week-by-week series starting next week. So we're going to reproduce into the bulletin again what was here today, and we'll follow that next week and move everything ahead a week. Today we're celebrating the fact that for the first time we are listening to the Scripture in our actions in the Church and the General Synod in Canada. For who was the first person to proclaim the risen Jesus? Who? Mary. Mary was the first to proclaim the risen Lord. A woman. And we in the patriarchal age of the Church have only until recently start to allow women to come and preach, to have women coming as priests, to have women coming as bishops. And in fact, there are still some parts of the worldwide church of all denominations that feel that it's only for men to do this. But the first to proclaim the risen Lord is a woman. And I am excited today that we have elected a primate for the church as the official representative of the church in Canada, a woman, Linda. And Linda, I met her, as I was sharing earlier, my job as a volunteer at General Synod was to check everybody's ability to come and eat. And I checked hers. And she was fine. She was very good with it. She wasn't grumpy. I mean, she was wearing a purple shirt. I knew she was a bishop, but I had a job to do. She was warm, friendly, and her reputation is one of being a progressive person, a person who loves the Lord, who's very intelligent, who's up to date on the theology and the understanding of life and helping people live their lives as Christians living in the midst of today's world with all the various pressures that we face. And with all the various understandings that we have. And Linda will do a great job as primate. She's grieving now to leave Huron. And I think she didn't think she was going to be made primate. But the Holy Spirit spoke to the delegates when they elected yesterday. And she was chosen to be the first among equals of bishops in Canada. The primate of the church. I doubt she'll ever come to visit us here, but you never know. But she has a message to bring. And I would invite you all to look up her profile in the General Synod. I sent it out yesterday. You should have it somewhere. And just take some time to read it and look at it and think about what she's saying. Because she's saying that we have to be a church that knows its history, respects its traditions, respects the Scripture, respect the traditions of the church, but also not to be so handcuffed by it that we can't minister and reach out and be involved in the needs of the people of today. One of the things that sometimes we get involved in is that we stay ourselves as a church in the tomb. And we don't resurrect from the tomb. We get caught in the tomb of history. And if we did it this way in the year 2040, we've got to do it this way. Or the year 40, we have to do it in the year 2020. And it's not true. Because we are dynamic, we're alive. Just as God is alive and dynamic and walking with us in the midst of the conditions and realities that we face. It's not just the Holy Spirit that's dynamic. It's all of God and our understanding of God that's alive with us. I had some time in the General Synod when I wasn't on duty to be sitting around and talking with other people. And it was fascinating how there's such a variety in some of the information booths of how they see life and see our faith. And I challenged one person who said, we have to get back to the basics, to where we were in the old church by the year 100. We've got to be there. And I said, so you believe the world is flat? Do you believe that the sun goes around the earth? Do you believe? And I challenged all these things because these have an impact on our faith and especially on young people. I mean, we often wonder, where are the young people? Well, the young people look at us and say, where are you? What are you proclaiming as reality? We've walked on the moon as a human people. We put a star in the sky called the International Space Station. All of this has an impact on our dynamic of faith and our faith paradigm. And we have to take all that into account. People are looking today, young people, for community and connection. They are looking for a sense that they matter. And they're looking for a sense that there's a future and that they're willing to join with everybody else in a coalition to save the planet. I was astounded. I talked to some youth delegates from the Maritimes, from the five dioceses of the Maritimes, and we were talking about climate change. And all of them, and they were in their early 20s, while one was in her late teens. And they said, we don't plan to have children. And I was shocked by that. And I said, well, why don't you want to have children? And one of them, who was quite articulate, said, why would I want to give birth to a child that has no future if the world is going to burn up because your generation is allowing it to die, being the earth? And that was a vision of this person who was chosen to represent their diocese because of their involvement in the life of the church and their ability to think and to speak. And I thought, wow. If this is a common attitude, we have got a lot of work to do. And I said to her, and to all of them, there was five or six of them, I said, well, we now have to start building coalition. We have to build coalition and put aside our differences and include people from other faith expressions and no faith expressions. And we have to work together so that you can have hope and children you may have can have hope. But this is an issue. And I think our new primate, Linda, gets that. And that she will also be challenging and leading us all to get more involved in the issues of the day. And not to worry about if we've washed our pans in the correct way and are we eating the right food with the right food, which is the old Jewish way. Jesus challenged that. Jesus challenged that perception of his own day. And he was a radical. And I think we have to be radical today to challenge what's going on in some of our thinking and to move beyond where we were comfortable and move to where we are uncomfortable in order to meet the challenges of what's happening now. And the General Synod is trying to do that, even though there's various forces fighting some of that. So in our prayers today, I hope we will think about the real conditions of the real world, of the real planet, of real people who follow God in a real way. That we are a people of love, a people of inclusion, and a people who are willing, with the love and the presence of Jesus in our hearts, take risks. Take risks for wholeness. Take risks for reconciliation. Take risks in love. I'm going to read one little statement I was going to use in my earlier prepared for today's sermon. I'll use it again next week. But here's the definition of reconciliation. Live well together with our differences. Live well together with our differences. We are called to live well together with each other here, to live well with people who are different from us in our own community, with First Nations community, but people around the globe. That basically we want to be a people of love and care. It's not about power. It's not about vanquishing. It's not about being first. It's about journeying and living well together. For we're all, whether we acknowledge it or not, are people of God. And I pray today that as you receive the sacrament, that we have this vision and warmth in our hearts. We are called, as it said in the reading from the prophet Isaiah, which gave the theme of today's the National Synod, General Synod, we are called by name. God knows us by name, and He calls us to love and calls us to a ministry of reconciliation. May God bless us all. Amen.